about crypto, which way to go, me right info, I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it, technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Junkies Podcast, episode 9. This is your host, Ragnar 4.
Havoc, Thunder Monkey.
And today we're going to talk about some neat stuff. We've had some cool things going on within the space. Everyone knows about Ukraine and the Russia situation and everything that's going on. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and give our take on it. And, honestly, it's a crazy situation. It's a heartfelt situation that we feel for them. And it's crazy what crypto has been able to provide, right? And the impact that it's had.
Exactly. They were in need of funds. They were in need of donations. And what was the easiest way to get donations? They ended up creating their own Bitcoin wallet, and they were able to generate $100 million worth of donations worldwide. And if you think about it, before cryptocurrency, how would a government or an individual be able to generate those types of donations without platforms such as...
Well, let's say like the Red Cross or just like
entities. Yeah, Red Cross.
And even if you wanted to like give money, like to your point, it sometimes could take a very long time, right? It's
exactly.
There's a lot of barriers.
Exactly. But for the now that crypto exists, you're able to transfer funds, donations, assets to any other person or organization or government in this situation with ease.
Yeah, and that's large funds at that, because if it was just going through a bank, you know, $100 million would take a while for it to clear into somebody's bank. But it being crypto, it just seamlessly goes into an account.
Exactly. And also in this situation, let's say that Ukraine is dependent on other banks from other governments. This is not the case, but imagine if their currency was dependent on Russian banks and Russia is the one attacking Ukraine. What would that look like in this world where, you know, they're dependent on their enemies, but decentralized crypto allows them to just completely get that financial freedom to act by themselves without any third party interfering. Right. What I did want to say about that is that Ukraine was able to get $100 million of donation. And you know what they used that for?
For what?
They used it for 5,000 bulletproof jackets, 400,000 packed lunches. They were able to buy 500 helmets. They were able to buy 4,000 like medicine packs and walkie talkies from the world giving them cryptocurrency donations.
Wow.
The boy stole the information from Wiki.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But, you know, I don't think, yes, we feel bad about Ukraine, and we won't take like a political stance on the events. It's just what is happening with cryptocurrency in regards to those events.
Right. You know? And it's also awesome to live in this time, and we have all these new developments that are coming. So it's crazy that, you know, we're blessed to be in, to be alive right now through all the innovation that's going to happen. But then we have things like war that continue to mess with world peace, you know.
Yeah.
that's the ultimate goal, world peace. And I believe that, well, no one wants to say it, right? It's like, in a sense, like taboo, like to say world peace. Like, I want world peace because like come on, who are you kidding? That's something that can't be accomplished. But what's crazy is that Russia was able to shut down the I think they did a cyber attack is what I'm saying, right? And on the people of Ukraine, because they were being attacked. There's not ways to fill up the ATMs to give more money. Like these people were struggling to get money, right? So that's like a war tactic that was used against the Ukraine and their people. Like, we're going to oppress the hell out of you.
Exactly.
But here comes crypto. Here comes decentralization and says, fuck you.
Yeah. you can't control me.
You can't control me. You cannot oppress me. And everyone freaking gave to Ukraine and without regulations. And did y'all hear also about the whole Elon Musk satellites and
how... Yeah, Starlink.
Yeah. So what did Russia do?
I'm aware that Elon Musk was able to help Ukraine's get internet access. I think Russia was jamming that frequency.
Yeah.
So Elon Musk got their cybersecurity team to solely focus on giving Ukraine back the internet access. But it's crazy, right? So Russia is able to find ways to take control of that situation, right? But you can't take control of cryptocurrency. You cannot take control of a decentralized platform. And that's why crypto is so valuable in this modern day and age. And in fact, here's another little tidbit that I wanted to add. So Coinbase, the platform, Visa, and a lot of US companies started sanctioning Russia and cutting off all ties with Russia, right? So I agree with that sentiment, but if you're Coinbase, a platform that deals with cryptocurrency, you shouldn't be taking sides. You should be decentralized. Do y'all agree with that take, or you think they should sanction Russia? Like Coinbase, like they're supposed to be a platform more closely related to decentralization rather than centralization.
So I get it from that aspect, but I feel like people are taking Ukraine's side on this side, or on the whole war aspect of this. And yeah, it's like you said, it's decentralized, right? It would only make sense for them not to be able to do stuff like that. But at the same time, they're trying to prevent Russia from causing any more havoc than they've already done, right? Because then who knows what the funding that comes from Coinbase will do for Russia. What if they are able to, do a nuclear attack and whatnot, and what they plan on doing. So honestly, I'm with Coinbase on that. I'm all for them having a sanction. It is a decentralized platform.
It's hard for me because I'm like, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because I'm all about decentralization. And this is obviously not a decentralization move by Coinbase. But the only reason it makes sense for me and I'm like, okay, yeah, I agree with Coinbase is because of the loss of human life. Like, we are smart enough and advanced enough as a civilization to not be having to kill each other and resort to these type of tactics.
Yep.
And that's my take. That's more important to me than decentralization. So that's why I would say I agree with Coinbase, just because it's war. I would hate to be in those people's shoes. I put myself in those people's shoes, and it sucks what they're going through. People have been underground in the, like, the subways, or just like,
yeah, like bomb shelters down in the subways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've been there for 15 days. And how much more is it going to last? Because with all the world against Russia and cutting off their money and the ways that they can interact with the world, they're kind of just acting like whatever and oh, well.
So, yeah. And, now that you bring that up, there's two ways to fight a war, right? Boots on the ground, we're going to take each other's life, or economic warfare, right? Yep. Economic warfare means sanctions. It means, just vetoing them, or just completely cutting off ties with them. Because if you take a superpower, i.e. Russia's ability to transact and make money, you'll shit on them, essentially.
Them. Yeah.
So I guess I see where you're coming from, where,
but
you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One thing, though, that I thought about
it. Yeah, go for it.
Is, did they ban all of Russia? So every single account?
That's even, where I'm...
Even for the people?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Every individual in Russia lost access to Coinbase.
So they lost their money?
Yeah.
Well, no, not... It's... I don't know. Well, so it's intricate.
It's tough because, I mean, not even just crypto in the sense, but think about the people who don't have crypto in Russia, and their bank accounts have already been cut from even, accessing their money. The United States and all of Europe, they pose sanctions on
their money went
Russia.
Down, right? Tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the ruble. Yeah, it's worth not much.
Yeah, I mean, there's people overseas going on vacation that weren't able to take any money out from their Russian accounts because it was sanctioned. Like, they weren't able to touch anything. So you're on vacation, you can't touch your money.
Wow.
I highly disagree with Coinbase's decision to sanction Russia, because I think, you know, I get it that life is important, but I don't think Coinbase is the mediator to decide whether they get to determine whether people who are either involved or not involved in the Russian war to be able to transaction with cryptocurrency. Right. There's a lot of innocent individuals in Russia that has nothing to do with the war that should be able to transact with crypto, but Coinbase cut them off, and that's what I disagree with.
Marketing, yeah. Bro. Marketing.
Yeah. Okay. Then
you're gonna get people to get into Coinbase. Like, all right, I'm all for that. I'm all for cutting off Russia.
Yeah.
Let's get into Coinbase.
Exactly.
So with the war that's, you know, going on, and there's, you know, they've had a couple of moments where they've gone to the table and have talked, but nothing has moved forward.
No, nothing has really moved forward. Yeah, I mean, they're just going to keep attacking Ukraine until either it's theirs or, you know, the world decides that Russia is going to bully us and we're going to decide that Ukraine cannot be a part of NATO, and that's how all of this ends.
Well, it was supposed to last. The attack was supposed to last 2 weeks for, you know, on Russia's side, and it's been, what, 3 weeks already? Yeah. Going on 3 weeks?
I think it was It was supposed to end the 6th of March, and it didn't. And now we're on the 13th, and so they already overextended their stay.
Right. And then, so with that being said, you know, we're not experts on these facts.
Political.
All the facts of Russia and the war and everything, but we just want to give a little take from our perspective on the crypto side. But let's get to something that's related to the war, inflation.
Yeah, let's talk about that, all right? Inflation is at an all-time high at 7.9%. I don't know if y'all recall, but our last two episodes, we were also talking about inflation, and we were making the hot take that that's an inaccurate number. We were thinking it was around 20 to 30% because everywhere you go, it's not 7.9% increase.
Nah,
it's
no
20.
Way.
It's 30, it's 40. I work in the paint industry where everything went up like 30, 40%. So, you know, the government is saying it's 7.9%. No, it's higher.
And it's as expected, though. You know, the Federal Reserve doesn't want to scare anybody from pulling out of the stock market and causing, you know, everything to crash. So,
God, the stock market is horrendous.
Man, dude.
It's horrible.
I've lost so
bleeding?
Much money. Yeah, it's bleeding.
It's bleeding. It doesn't stop.
It doesn't.
It goes back up like 5% from the all-time low, and then like today was like...
Well, you know, buy the dip, bro, because, you know, inevitably the stock market is going to get better.
Not
financial advice. You can do stocks, but if you can do real estate, or if you can do NFTs or risky investments and you get really good at it, then I would rather do that way.
Well, with all this going on, crypto has been, I'd say, pretty stable. Once Russia stuff actually started with Ukraine, it dipped for a little bit there. We were kind of getting scared.
Yeah.
And then, somehow just between all the news going on,
stabled. It's like at 37,000.
Yeah. I mean, it's stuck between 30K to 40K for Bitcoin. It hasn't, it's been in between, moved up and down a little bit.
What's up, bro?
Let's go ahead and talk about NFTs, you know.
Hold on, let me cut you off before. One hot take that I wanted to say about inflation, right? So it goes back to what you were saying a couple weeks ago, that if you have money, if you have fiat and you're not doing anything with it, you're losing 7 to 8% of that of your asset just year over year because you're not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
So here's the hot take. There's a article that just got posted. Since you're not able to create more Bitcoin, inflation doesn't really move much, right? So Bitcoin's inflation is 5 times lower than the US average. So if you did want to park your money anywhere, Bitcoin is a better option than just having it at fiat, just from an inflation standpoint, not financial advice.
Right, like if you're not doing anything with your money.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole purpose of Bitcoin. And I feel like, so I've discussed about Bitcoin to some guys at work. They're a little older males, but I've been trying to bring the concept to them. And I know we've described it in our episode. Bitcoin is sort of like gold in the cryptocurrency, right? Except Bitcoin actually has an amount of currency that's out there and gold doesn't. So you're able to adjust, you know, to what the price of Bitcoin is going to be within a few years by, you know, people purchasing and whatnot.
Yeah.
I love Bitcoin. I love it.
Yeah,
I don't hold any, but I definitely want to start, you know, investing some here and there.
Yeah, I agree. And there's also a phenomenon called the Bitcoin gravity. I'm not sure if y'all kind of heard of that before, but essentially it means that if Bitcoin moves up, the whole market moves up. If Bitcoin goes down, the whole market goes down. And that's just how intense Bitcoin's gravity is. Bitcoin is the sun, and where all the other cryptocurrencies are just little planets revolving around Bitcoin.
I mean, it holds like the largest amount of currency in it.
Yeah. Awesome. So we talked a little bit about inflation. I guess we could stay there for longer if we could, but it's the main take, I guess, would be that if you're just going to be saving money and parking it in your bank account or your savings account, it would be better to invest in something to try and make some money, because at the rate that this is going, it's crazy. You're going to lose a lot of money just by parking it there. Like, it's going to be worth 10%, 20%, 30% less. Imagine, like, if you were to park, you had $50,000 in your bank account, you know, let's say you parked it.
Yeah, man,
worth in 10 years? Is it worth $50,000?
$1 million.
I guess I don't want to sound like a broken record, but let's talk about it just a tad bit. If you had $100,000 in your bank account, right, and inflation is 8%, right? So
that's what they say, but it's probably not true.
It's probably not true. So if you left that $100,000 in your bank account and didn't do anything with it, that dollar amount would be $92,000. Even though you have $100,000, the value of that $100,000 would be $92,000.
Yeah. And then what happens the next year?
Yeah.
It's not.
Then it's 8% of the 92.
As it continues. No.
Well, I'm not too sure if I'm wrong. We can clip it out if I am. But if I'm not wrong, then isn't it compounding? So it's not even that it's the 8%, but now it's 8 plus 8. So 16% of the second year times the 92%.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I have no idea.
You got me on that. Yeah, that's year over year. I know. That's,
so, like, if it went down 8% this year.
Yeah, the value.
Then the next year it continued the trend and it went down another 8%. And that would be 16% by year two. So, by year two, you would times 16% loss on the $92,000 on year two. And it continues to compound.
So, that interest compounds? It just stacks on it? Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it's not like it only went down and then it recovered. It went down and then it continued to go down and down and down.
Why? Yeah.
So, no. We need to fact check this. Hopefully, we can do that.
We'll fact check it.
We'll fact check it before we put it on.
Yeah.
So, that would close our conversation on inflation. Let's talk about NFTs, because obviously this is a channel about investments overall, you know, just us giving you our knowledge about personal finance to the best that we can, things that we've done to kind of get us to where we're at currently. And, you know, we're middle class, bro. We're just like working our way through, but we found some success. So, like,
well, here's an NFT thing that I wanted to talk about. We were looking at it actually maybe 2 weeks ago. We're looking at the top 50 NFT projects. And I don't know if y'all caught that, but Doodles was like number 19 or 18 or something like that. The floor was 5-6 ETH. I think it was You Thunder Monkey who recently posted a something about South by Southwest, right? Yeah. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so Doodles, they had a, I don't know what you call them, a little post area in Austin, South by Southwest. And it basically was a presentation of their NFT. So they had a bunch of cool little artwork just stationed around in a warehouse. And what they did is they collabed with Bear. So Doodles, you've seen like their palette tone of colors. They're kind of, I don't know what would you call that style of colors?
Pastel colors. Pastel, I think, like, is what it is.
The spring, like a spring colorway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they collabed with Bear, which is a competitor to Sherwin-Williams, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's a big deal. It's like
it's huge.
Home
I mean,
Depot and Doodles so collabing
Bear,
together.
Bear is owned by Home Depot? That's their brand?
Yeah, basically, I believe Home Depot bought Bear. Bear used to be independent, and then Home Depot just took over it.
And that's pretty big to like have Home Depot like Bear paint to be with Doodles.
Yeah, bro, it's so freaking crazy. People think that we're talking about some bullshit-ass pictures. No, bro, we're talking about NFT. We're talking about the new upgrade on the internet with all this utility. It's barely getting started. Like, that's crazy. A freaking Bear with a collaboration with an NFT. Like, you think, you know, Chase Bank buying freaking land in the metaverse for millions of dollars. How much is it? Do you know the like exact amount or
no? No, I don't.
No, like millions of dollars. What else? What other big players do we have that stepped in and said what's up?
Exactly. Bored Ape Yacht Club. I don't know if y'all saw this, but I think they're doing a collaboration with Sherwin Williams. So that's going to be hype as shit.
In their dream. You're going to be the lead man on that.
Yeah,
right?
There you go, bro.
Hey, that'd be fire, though.
That would be.
Well, I think at this moment of time, that's a big step up for a lot of projects is getting into like accusations with bigger companies. So
like acquisitions?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into that, because I know where you're headed. And that's like a big topic. What I wanted to talk about is some of the negative, some of the negative that's been going on in the space.
Yeah.
But it actually hasn't been negative. It's been good. So the NFT market has slowed down.
Yeah, we're definitely in a bear. For the past few weeks, we've been in a bear NFT market.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe 3 to 4 months, to be honest. Yeah. Since November. November was all-time highs.
Yes, yes. So what's happening is that the people who are getting into the space are getting smarter, right? We're no longer investing in dumb shit, like things, projects that don't make sense, just giving random people your freaking money for no reason with no, like, no. Go ahead. Yeah. We're going to open some beers, y'all. Let's do it. Come on. It's a commercial right here.
Not sponsored by Dos Equis.
Sponsored by Dos Equis for the most. What's the line? What's the line so I can get a take at it?
Oh, dang. What is the line for Dos Equis?
For the most.
The most interesting man.
Dos Equis' new partnership with Crypto Junkies Podcast for the most interesting man in the world.
Stay thirsty, my friends. Thirsty. We can't get sued for that, can we?
Yeah.
They don't care about us, dude. Yeah. We're just some little dudes doing podcasts, man.
Some guppies swimming with the sharks.
Yep. So pretty much we've been in a bear market. So all the projects that were BS, like they're not being bought anymore, and people are doing their homework a lot more like they should have in the beginning, because they don't want to be rug pulled and they don't want to lose money. But it's so funny that we talk about being, you know, people doing their work and everything, and how we're like, we want to help people.
Right.
Like you, Havoc, Thunder Monkey, and Ragnar, we want to help people.
Yeah.
But Thunder Monkey just got rug pulled like a day or two ago.
I did, bro. And it's not the first time.
It's
the second time. So I got into this project. It's been happening a lot lately, actually. There's this project called NFT Worlds. And they just released that. So NFT Worlds is basically like a metaverse project, sort of like Sandbox, Decentraland. NFT Worlds is based off Minecraft servers. So NFT Worlds has their NFT project, and then you're able to build within your NFT project using Minecraft material. So anyways, there was this project that came out called Wanderverse, and I ended up buying like 0.25 ETH worth of it. And it lasted like a day. It minted. They were waiting for it to accumulate in the market, so they went to like 300 ETH in volume, and then they just completely shut down the servers.
Goddamn.
Yeah, dude. So that sucks. So look, it's crazy. This is crazy, man. So a lot of these projects have gone to smart. So what do we want? People want a Dox team. They want to see people on there.
That boy's
yeah, Dox team. Yeah, for sure. Always.
Yeah. So people want to see a Dox team. They, you know, you look at these key points that we've mentioned in the past. You had a strong community. Everybody was in there. They were really hyped.
Yeah.
And then these guys faked it. The white paper, these guys came up with the white paper. And I'm talking about, like, I looked at it for hours, like, just reading through his documents. I loved it. You know, everything they explained, the token they were going to provide, all the future. Yeah, dude, they definitely knocked it out. So I was like, all right, well, this seems like a decent project. Seems like the founders know what they're doing.
Great presentation.
Yeah, dude. No, it was a great presentation. And then you look into these, they had pictures of the Dox members, which apparently wasn't actually the team. They just, it was like random people they found from like Australia and like parts of Europe. And they copy their pictures, put a fake name on it, and then just like, oh, I like to go hiking on the weekends. And
it was just like stock photos.
It was exactly what it was. It was a stock photo of another person just, you know, describing what they like to do on their hobbies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so people believed it because, I mean, we've discussed this before. You know, what do we want to see in a project before we purchase it? And so I was like, all right, this seems pretty cool. It's one of the first projects going off of NFT Worlds. NFT Worlds, if you guys didn't know, was like at a 13, they're like a 12, 13 ETH floor, which is.
Yep. I passed on it.
It's like 40 grand, right? Like 40, 50 grand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I believed in it. I was like, all right, fuck it. Let me do it.
So there's been a couple of moves that my brother has told me to make, and I have not done them just because being over leveraged in, or just invested in other areas, but I could have definitely sold and made them. But one of them, because my brother told me get Mutinate, I didn't listen. And he told me get NFT Worlds, and I could have got NFT Worlds at 0.24. Could have bought a couple of them, and they're worth, you know, 34, you know, 0.24 back then was probably like $700 to $800. Mm-hmm. But right now that project is worth $30,000 to $40,000. And depending on the rarity, because had I minted it, which I was going to,
right.
You get a random, you know, you get a random NFT, and some of them are more rare. So some of the NFT Worlds, the floor, the bottom price, that's what the floor means, is 13, 14. But there's some rare ones that are selling for 25, 30, 35 Ethereum, which is a tremendous amount of money.
So I'll tell you something that what I kind of just see off these metaverse projects, a lot of them are still in progress. Well, no, all of them are still in progress. Like NFT Worlds, yeah, I like it. But then looking back at it now, like actually doing the research on it, how it's based off Minecraft servers, and I'm like, man, one of us could just get a Minecraft server and then just build a project based upon that. And then that's all they really had to offer was so what they said is they didn't want to not provide anything to their team, to their community. So what they ended up doing is to speed up the progress is they went ahead and used Minecraft servers in order to create something to release.
Yeah, I feel like the value derives from like having a Minecraft platform, but not using Minecraft itself to create your platform. You feel me?
Yeah.
So like Minecraft is a big deal, and like if you could replicate that, awesome, right? But if you're just using them to you know create a project, nah, that's not the way to go.
And you know it kind of falls back upon us, the people, because we want something right away. We expect it to be done right away. And a lot of people like to FUD during these projects because they're like, oh, they haven't released anything. Let me just sell it. And people don't want to see their project drop in price, right? You want to see your – yeah. I mean, you bro, so like you want to see your project increase in price. Right. So a lot of people don't hold. They FUD, and then they just paper hand the floor, and people start getting out of these projects that are trying to actually build something. There's this project out there called Treeverse, and it's sort of – it's another metaverse project by a guy named Loopify. And it came out like months ago, and right now it's currently just the NFT, nothing on it. Like there's nothing built upon it yet, but they're in progress of building it. And they've said it takes time to build a great project, something like that, that takes developers and having people, engineers and software, you know, all that stuff. People create things, takes time. A lot of people don't understand that aspect of it yet.
Exactly, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Raul, a while back. You were saying that, you know, here in the space, when we buy these projects, we're angel investors. It's the same that applies in the real world. When we are angel investors, we just can't expect immediate gratification and have, like, something done in a couple of days or even weeks. Sometimes it takes weeks or months before, you know, the fruits of your labor actually materialize and you're able to gain, you know, some form of compensation from us being angel investors. So, yeah and it sucks that we paper hand and we FUD, but that's just, you know, innate in human nature that we just want something now. And if we don't, then we have uncertainty and we just start selling.
Yeah, like you said, instant gratification. But they're so, just so you guys know, there is a lot of projects out there. There's so many coming out on a daily basis, and a lot of them promise a lot of things. But if these projects have a great leadership, you'll pretty much know instantly, like, these guys are actually putting in work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at this stage, how much we've learned so far from NFTs, the approach now for us is that we're only investing in, like, the same, you know, doing the research, investing in the jockeys, but also not being caught into FOMO, especially not right now. Like,
yeah,
during this stage, we're in a bear market, so things are, you know, they're not moving as fast, or the prices are dropping on certain, a lot of projects. So you just have to invest with more conviction. So that means you actually believe, and you're going to invest, and you're not going to look at the price for a very long time.
Yeah, you know? I know, it's true. I mean, so there's this NFT Llama. That's I always seen him as a great leader. The NFT Llama, he's a young dude, but you're going to end up paying the premium for a good project most of the time. There is projects that are going to mint. You'll be able to get it at a decent price, but if you like look up NFT Llama, he is consistently on Twitter updating people. Yeah, every now and then he's posting memes and stuff, but he stays on top of his work, and that's the type of leader that you want to look up to, someone like NFT Llama.
NFT Llama released his Llamaverse NFT, and I think the ETH floor is 5, 6, 10?
No. So the Llamaverse Genesis, it's a new one he released. Mm-hmm. It's sitting like at 1.5
to 2
ETH mm-hmm. floor. But, I mean, that guy is hardworking. He's nonstop, always updating the community. If something goes wrong, he will reimburse stuff. You know, like I tried minting it, but apparently I didn't have access, so he reimbursed me my ETH that I spent.
Oh, damn. Mint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why? Because his brand is more important than that small
exactly.
amount of money.
Exactly.
Which is what we're saying in the previous episodes.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick...
Intermission.
And we'll be back. So welcome back to the episode. So we took that intermission. We got to get some water, catch our breath, talk about some things. We wanted to talk about NFTs, right? So a lot of people come and listen to our podcast because they know of a little bit of the success that we've had with the NFTs and the things that we're doing, and how we're trying to influence our peers in our community to come get involved, because we see that this is somewhere something that you can get involved in and that it can change your life. So something that's changed my life personally has been the V Friends, and they've had a bunch of stuff going on recently. I know a lot about it, so I can go over it unless someone wants to give their piece.
Nah, first. Bro, you're the man.
Yep.
You're
all the right man. Let's go. So pretty much what happened with the V Friends is that they're creating, Gary V is creating a IP, a brand. He wants to be the next Walt Disney, or do something like a Walt Disney, to create this form of art that he's teaching, that he's going to pretty much inject what his characteristics, all the good ones, the things that have got him to where he's gotten. And he's going to show that and portray that through the art. That is V Friends. That's going to start with the kids, because we all know that whenever the kids are growing up, that's when it's most important for them to have a backbone, for them to have something that they can rely on, for something that they can see that makes sense. Because in this world of chaos, when the kids don't have that parental figure that's doing the great job, then they can really get lost and not believe in themselves. So Gary Vee, he announced the V2. So for the V2 is going to be a mint that's going to be under $1,000. So if you wanted to buy in the public sale, it would cost under $1,000. Now what he did for his, he also released a book games, which you're able to burn NFTs from the book games collection, so that, or not even burn, you are, for the 15 new characters, you can burn some to get those new 15 characters that are coming out. And this is a lot of information. So there's 15 characters that are special. You have to burn the book game tokens to get those special ones. But another aspect of the book game tokens is if you own one, you have a percentage, a chance of getting the friends list. So the friends list, they're saying it's about 26% chance per book game token, or 23% chance. So like you need like at least 4 to kind of secure one spot or one mint on the friends list. So that's what happened with book games. Now, Gary Vee is saying that for all the V1 holders, so these are the alpha holders, the holders that believed in him when he was building his prototype, you know. Before there was Mickey Mouse, yeah. There was paintings, there was drawings of prototypes and things of this nature before the final product. Now, If you want to go and buy a sketch of that prototype, it probably costs a lot of money because it's like the genesis, the beginning point. Yeah,
the first iteration
that led to a grand idea or something grand, right?
Is that what genesis means? For like the first iteration?
I think so. Okay. Was the Sega Genesis the first iteration?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. I didn't know that's what that meant. Okay.
Oh, also in the Bible, Genesis, right? Isn't that like the first chapter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Genesis. Yeah. Well, yeah. So you see that a lot in NFTs. Genesis. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, so definitely. So what he told us, the V1 holders, which is the Genesis, he's like, because we're like, yo, you're doing all this amazing stuff. You know, these new projects that you're bringing, NFTs, people are invested. But the VFriend one holder is like, how are we being rewarded? That was still unknown because he's like, the V1 holders are going to be surprised. So he actually let us know recently that all V1 holders will be receiving their V2 counterpart. So you're only able to get those V2 counterparts by having been a V1 holder. So they're going to be the most rare out of the V2 collection. And I was out of my mind, ecstatic, very happy, because I have three spectaculars and I have one very rare. So I'm going to get three spectacular V2s from the characters that I own. And if you've been listening to the podcast, I have a very special character called the Wizard, the Willful Wizard. And I'm going to get another spectacular Willful Wizard in V2 now.
How many was there on V1? Five?
Well, there's five spectacular versions, but there's five of each. There's five common, five okay. Rare, very rare, and epic.
Is it going to be the same in V2?
Yes, I believe so. All the original tokens will have their counterpart or their V2 style one. And the spectacular holders are the ones that are like crazy because if you own one of the regular V-Friends, I guess from all the way from common all the way to like, what is it? Epic?
Yeah.
No, not epic. Before epic. Ultra, no, very rare. Right? So you get an evolved version of the V-Friend in the V-Friends 2 lineup. It's called the Evolved. But if you have the spectacular, you get a step above it, which is just the spectacular version of it. So there's not an evolved spectacular. It's the spectacular. So it's above evolved. So if you have a spectacular V-Friends 1, Gary V just made you some bank. Like, how much do you think these spectaculars are going for? They're the top of the class. So
yeah.
What do you think? 5 ETH?
So those are solely for like art, right? V2 is just solely art, right?
Yeah, it's solely art and they're collectibles, but you never know what Gary V is going to do to provide a utility.
Yeah.
He might say right now, no utility.
But he's working on this for years, right?
This is a big plan, and he might give you some utility.
Yeah.
So that's what happened with V-Friends 1, some big stuff that's going on. But you would think that, oh, wow, that's like one of the big announcements, but there's more. So Gary V released his collaboration with Zero Cool. So Zero Cool is a company, where they're not the main company. The main company is actually
subsidiary.
Yes, exactly that one. I don't know how to say the word, so I didn't want to butcher it. But that from Fanatics. So Fanatics, if you all did not know, they recently acquired some of the major sports cards labels to be able to like actually like print them out or like. So they got. Did they get they got all of them, right? They got the NFL.
Fanatics did?
Yeah. They like
I didn't know that. Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, so this past, I don't know if it was last year or when, but they got the rights to be releasing some of the major cards that are in the game.
As NFTs?
No, just cards.
Oh, okay.
Cards.
Collectibles.
So like it's not gonna be Topps anymore or the other companies, the old school ones.
Fanatics.
Fanatics is the ones they got the contract. The baller move right there, like wow. That's like came out of nowhere. So they now made a subsidiary company or whatever the hell that word is called. Or if we're saying that right. but they made a company called Zero Cool. So Zero Cool is going to now focus on popular culture. Like, if there's trading cards for the NFL, for basketball, for hockey, why isn't there collectibles that have meaning behind the top 50 artists? What up, yay? Anyways, the top 50 artists, the top, you know, comedians, the top...
On cards?
Yes, on cards.
So now that you mentioned that, you're talking about that. What about the best NFT projects in card collectible forms?
Exactly.
Is that what you're relating to?
Yes, yes. Oh, okay. Exactly. So pop culture and everything, that's what they're doing. The top singers, you know, this is going to get crazy with collectibles and memorabilia. So they partnered with V Friends as their first release. So Zero Cool is the alpha. They are the genesis of this pop culture type of collectibles from Fanatics, who now owns the rights to release these new trading cards for basketball and football and all these other things. And the first collaboration is VFriends, from the NFTs. So, like, it's just so many major things happening. And what they did is that they did, and I'm taking so much time, y'all. I know. But what they did was that they did a Dutch auction, but it was like a private. So like you would not be able to, pretty much there's only 800.
Select few.
Yes. There was only 800 of these cards that were able to be released, and they contained the V Friends. And if you pull a special V Friend on one of these cards, I'm telling you right now, it's going for 10K plus, 15K plus. Right. If you pull the right one, you can get $50,000 or $100,000. So people were bidding for these cards, and you can bid from $100 or whatever, but the top 800 ones, or the 800 one, whatever the lowest price, everyone was going to pay that. You wouldn't pay more. So some people, if they bid above, they would save some money. So I was thinking about going in on it, but damn, I'm like, fuck.
What did it get to?
I'm getting a house, I'm trying, and I'm closing pretty soon, so I can't be like spending.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of like, well, I was like, man, well, I guess I'm just not going to be part of this. But I had in mind, like, you know what, like 1200, 1500. Maybe if I was being serious of investing, I would have seen like the true potential, but I wasn't like serious because I knew like I couldn't.
Yeah.
The clearing price, everyone ended up paying $2,150 for 800 boxes.
It's not bad. Wow. That's almost an ETH.
Yeah. And then a day later, the first resale happens, $6,000.
Yeah,
for wow. the whole collection,
for the box.
The box,
yes.
Sealed.
Sealed.
Damn.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's insane. So what they're doing now with the V Friends, and Gary V continues to deliver, is just providing the value and building the characters, building the brand. And, you know, there's more announcements coming about the people who are going to be at VCon as well. There's going to be a lot of people. Yeah. There's going to be vendors.
The guys from Artifact are going to be there. The guys from Dapper Dino.
Yeah.
They're going to be guest speakers.
You're right. Going to that, aren't
Snoop
you, Rob?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's going. Yeah, I'm going.
TFTI, bro.
Hey, I was drunk one day.
Hey, bro.
TFTI, bro.
He invited me, bro. He was like, hey, bro, I got an extra ticket. Come with me. A week later, he was like, nah, never mind.
Hey, well, you know, maybe we can still make something happen. You know, because if maybe you can catch Crypto Junkies podcast at VCon. That would be insane.
That would be pretty cool.
You know, and... one thing that I've been on to like recently is like learning from people and business, and like Mattress Firm now has us wearing like these name badges and shit.
Yeah.
And they come with QR codes. So I was like, yo, this is legit. Like, I need to take this for Crypto Junkies podcast. I need to take this for Galaxy Wizards, where I sell trading cards and all this. Like, here, scan this, follow my IG, follow what you need to follow, and you'll be entered into a raffle. Cause with Galaxy Wizards, where I sell Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, we do raffles of $5 a piece to enter the raffle, and you get a chance at winning ETBs or like more expensive Pokemon stuff. But I was like, this is something that we could do at VCon to help grow our presence with what we're trying to do. You know, we're part of the crew. Like, we are part of the OG NFT crew. Like, we're not OG, but we're still OG because we're still fucking early. Like, no one is here yet. Like, do you think people are here yet?
No, I think 0.1 of the U.S. population, 0.1% is involved in crypto. So mass adoption still hasn't happened. We are early adopters into the space.
So what you're saying is you're taking Crypto Junkies, all of us, to VCon?
I'm hoping.
That's what I heard, bro.
That's kind of what I understood.
That's what I heard. That's the take, bro.
Yeah. That's what I'm actually hoping to do. Like, I just got to get this house situation closed, but, you know, it the cost of it was like $2,000, $3,000 per ticket.
Get your bag, bro.
Yeah.
Get your money.
I mean, I could sell my tickets, but I was thinking that they were going to be worth more, like $10,000, $20,000.
Mm.
It could still change, though. Do you think it could change leading up to, like, if there's some crazy, you know, people that show? Or
who would change the price of that? Like, who could you expect to see?
Like, The Rock shows up.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it would have to be like an icon of the NFT space. I just don't know who that is. Like, JC or the founders of Bored Ape Yacht Club, if they showed up, it's like GG.
Yeah, which they probably will. Yeah. I mean,
it's supposed. Let me ask you this: do you think VCon is gonna be the biggest? Like, is it gonna be the biggest conference of all time? Like, is Gary gonna live up to his word and say
it's going to be the biggest NFT crypto conference to date?
To date, I believe, definitely to date. I mean, this we're like you said, we're early. Like, this is just to date.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows who's gonna make it? Who's gonna one up him? Who's gonna make a better VCon?
Yeah, because what happens? What would happen? So, no, but yeah, I really am thinking about how we can get to VCon, because unless they go for 10 or 20 G's on some stupid shit, but my other thought process is like, how would y'all do it? Like, would you sell your because this NFT, like, if I like sell it, I'll lose it.
Which
the VCon tickets.
Oh,
if you sell the V friend, you lose the ticket.
No, like if, yeah. But well, what I'm saying is once I have the tickets, like if I sell the NFT, because the ticket is an NFT. So if I sell the ticket, I'll lose it. Right. So like, but the person who bought it still has it because they'll use it, but it's still theirs. So in a sense,
so it becomes memorabilia at that point.
Of the first
there's a special place.
Think the tickets are going to go for a certain amount of money?
They could. Like if you look at Michael Jordan tickets and like from the Bulls. And
it's definitely collectible.
The first VCon.
Yeah, the first VCon. But like, do you think the ones that people were burning their book games tokens for the Goos, you think the Goos are going to be worth more?
That's a tough one, dude. Mm-hmm. No idea. Yeah, that's...
All right. Well, that's a little bit about VFriends. Well, a lot of bit about VFriends. A lot happened.
Speaking of VFriends, have you got your Mattel cards yet from VFriends?
Not yet. I'm waiting. Have you?
Bro, I forgot. I totally forgot I even ordered them.
Yeah, I'm waiting because they're worth some money. How much did we buy them for?
25 bucks.
Bro, how much are they worth now? 250.
That's how much they're selling for?
Yeah.
But how?
Yes.
People got theirs already?
No, it's just like pre-orders.
Oh,
but are people buying it at 250?
Yes, 250, 300. Yes.
Damn.
Imagine, that's another great play. We should have fucking 5Gs.
Yeah, I didn't buy it. I saw it. I added it to the cart, but I just didn't proceed. I should have, but you win some, you lose some.
Win some, lose some. All right, so let's go ahead. We've talked about that. Well, that's it, y'all. So thank you so much for tuning in to Crypto Junkies Podcast. Your host, Ragnar4.
Yo, it's Havoc.
Thunder Monkey.
Thank you so much, and we'll see y'all next time.
Boop.
Peace.
Boo.
Crypto Junkies NFT Talk. Turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT Talk. That's my show.
Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge. You got it. Technology on the move. We ride.